This is Susan Franzen, and you are listening to KHOI's Heart of Iowa, bringing you one of the forums for candidates in Story and Boone counties. Today's forum is the only one from Boone County. This forum was sponsored by the Boone Rotary Club. It was held in the theater of the Des Moines Area Community College on October 18, 2018. All available Boone County candidates were given the chance to speak at the two-hour forum, including those unopposed. Because our broadcast is just 1 hour, we will focus on the candidates who do have opponents. The moderator is Jim Turbis, KWBG News Director, starting with the three candidates for Boone County Treasurer: Lauren Novak, Chris Ann Hickel, and Kimberly Brinker.
I'm Lauren Novak. I was not born in Boone. I moved to Boone in 1999 from State Center. I graduated from Boone High School in 2004. I did attend DMAC here. I studied accounting and business. A little bit about myself. I've been married to my husband Josh for 6 years now. We have 3 boys. We've got Jameson, who is 3 and a half, Alex, who just turned 2 on October 1st, and we also have a 5-month-old. So we've got our hands full with that and love all the chaos and welcoming more. So I'm excited for what has to come this year. I love living in Boone. I love working in Boone. I worked at Boone Macon Trust for 11 years. After that, I currently am employed in the treasurer's office right now. I've been there for 3 years. I was approached by Darcy herself in 2015. She asked if I'd like to work in the treasurer's office. She thought I'd be a good fit, and I do really like the treasurer's office. We collect the property taxes for everyone. We do all motor vehicle. We do driver's license. We offer a lot to the public of Boone, and I'd like to continue doing that as the treasurer. You know, I'm 32 years old. I've got 30 plus years left in me, so I hope to be the treasurer for that long if you guys will have me. So I'm really looking forward to what's to come, and as we all know, November 6th will be here shortly, so we'll see what that has to bring. Thank you.
Good evening. I'm Chris Ann Hickel, and I am running for county treasurer. I'd like to tell you a little bit about me for those that really don't know me. My husband Mike and I were born and raised here in Boone. Actually, we lived on the same block, so fate, I guess. Also, we have 2 married children. Our son Brandon and his wife Cindy live in Boone, and our daughter Ashley and her husband and 3 adorable kids live in Huxley. My work in the public service started as a senior in high school as an intern at the Hawkeye Federal Savings Bank. The next 18 years there, I had several positions. One was data processing supervisor, where I maintained the computer system for the entire office and other branches. I also was teller supervisor, and my duties ranged there from assisting customers to balancing the vault to maintaining schedules for multiple buildings and training new employees. Then, in 1997, an opportunity arose, and it was at the county courthouse with the treasurer's office. There, my duties ranged from assisting customers with property taxes and motor vehicle registration and driver's license, balancing the county books for the entire county, and assisting in the yearly tax sale. I even had the opportunity to manage the tax department by myself for 6 weeks while the treasurer and first deputy were going to training. From there, I moved to the assessor's office in 2001, where I again was at the forefront of customer service. I also had the opportunity to learn and use many of the software systems that the county still uses today. In 2011, I passed deputy assessor's exams to ensure I can be used to my fullest potential.
Hi, I'm Kim Rinker. I live in Boone County. I've been here for 30 years. I currently live on my husband's family farm. My husband passed away in 2012. I have 2 boys. One is in eastern Iowa, and our oldest son lives on the farm. And both my boys are seventh generation on that family farm. I help my son and his wife with our cow-calf herd. I'm slowly getting out of that, and he's increasing his herd, so we're doing a little bit of financial stuff through that. My education, I have an AS degree from DMAC, paraprofessional accounting. My experience, currently I am the accountant for Genesis Development. Prior to that, I was the accountant for Boone County Hospital for 7 years. I did all of the tax asking. I worked very closely with our CFO on the budget. Other things that I do, I am also an elected official for ISU Boone County Extension. I'm on their finance subcommittee, on their budget committee also. I'm also an elected person for Midland Power Co-op. I've been on there since 2013. And I guess I just wanted to say a couple things why I wanted to run. I did get some encouragement from an employee at the courthouse. And with my experience and education, that person thought that I would be a good candidate for that position. I think with my education, my knowledge, and my experience, I would be a very good treasurer. So I'm hoping everybody that would like to support me, I would appreciate your vote.
Boone County Attorney Dan Kalacha, incumbent, and Stephen Swanson, challenger.
We'll start it out, Steve Swanson.
All right. Thanks, everyone. I'm Steve Swanson. A little bit about myself. My family's been in Boone County for 4 generations. I currently live in Ankeny. I'm currently practicing private practice of law. I kind of do a little bit of everything, corporate and all that. I have friends and family that live in all of Boone County. I went to Iowa State for finance and marketing. Went to Drake Law School, then passed the Iowa Bar. Prior to my current job, I spent 10 years as a prosecutor in the state of Iowa. My thing is I will fight for all of Boone County. Mr. Kalacha only helps those that help him. It's very apparent if you look at what's going on around the county. He currently has a policy in place which he's refusing to speak to law enforcement from Madrid. It's basically like a child telling their mom, tell Timmy to pass the peas, and then mom has to tell Timmy to pass the peas. He's got him going through a third-party attorney, which is costing the city money every time they contact him. He's doing this for purely political reasons. Today, there was a ethics violation filed that I've been informed about by a concerned citizen against Mr. Kalacha, and the accusations in that ethics complaint, if or when proven true, are pretty concerning to me as a citizen. I also want to say I'll fight fair. You're going to hear a lot of statistics from Mr. Kalacha. There's a quote out there that's famous. There's 3 kinds of lies. There's lies, there's darn lies, and there's statistics. And you're going to hear a lot of statistics, and that anyone can make up any statistic they want. However, one of the statistics you're going to hear, I'm sure you're going to hear it, is his success rate in domestic abuse cases. Recently, a domestic abuse case in Boone County was sent back for prosecutorial misconduct from his office. That's a problem, folks. It's not about winning. It's about doing justice. That's the job of a county attorney. A county attorney's job isn't to go out there and get whoever for whatever reason, even if they are a bad person. The county attorney's job is to seek justice. And justice does not come by committing prosecutorial misconduct.
Dan Kalacha.
Thanks. First, I want to thank the Rotary for inviting us here today. I want to thank all the candidates. I even want to thank Stephen Swanson for being here today, driving all the way from Ankeny. It's really important that we have an informed electorate, and I appreciate everybody being here, and I appreciate everybody listening on the radio. I've been your county attorney since 2013. It's been a great journey and a wonderful calling to be a prosecutor. As county attorney, I focus on the prosecution of drug cases, sexual predators, and domestic abusers. And we've been a victim-centered office. Since I've been county attorney, just last year we had a conviction rate of 97.5% when it comes to indictable cases. Also, since I've been county attorney, we see what the FBI statistics for the city of Boone has been since 2012. Violent crime has decreased 28%. Property crime has decreased 48%. Burglary has decreased 54%. Total crime in the city of Boone, working with our partners in law enforcement, have decreased 44% since I've been county attorney. This improves quality of life for everyone, is a decrease in the crime rate. In addition, we've done community outreach, and based on my efforts, We have the endorsement of the Sheriff Greg Ellsbury and the Sheriff's Office, and the Boone Police Officers Association has endorsed my candidacy and me for being county attorney. I'm proud of the progress we've done in this office. I'm proud of the progress in law enforcement for their endorsement of me, and I'm especially honored to have that. I asked the public for another 4 years so we could continue giving victims a voice in the courtroom. And I also think it will keep Boone County safe if we take and hold criminals accountable. Thank you.
Let's have some closing statements. I'll give you 2 minutes. We'll start with Dan.
Thanks. Folks, I think you've seen an example of how Stephen Swanson's going to be as a county attorney. I think you've seen it right here, bringing false allegations towards someone. And that's what he's doing right here. He'll do anything to get elected, and that's concerning. I want to thank the Rotary. I want to thank you, Jim. I want to thank all of you for being here today and watching and listening on the radio. For the past 6 years, my office has worked with law enforcement in the community, and we dropped crime by 44%. That's not my stats I made up. Anybody can look that up. That's a federal FBI crime stats from 2012 to 2016 for the city of Boone. Sex offenders, violent offenders, and drug dealers submit their match because we're not afraid to go to trial. We don't just let a case sit for a year and then have it dismissed by the court. We will try that case because we give the victims their voice in court. That's my job, to give them that voice in court. Right now, in fact, a recent study listed Boone as the 9th safest city in the state of Iowa. This is important because a low crime rate will result in a higher quality of life. The numbers speak for themselves. My office last year delivered a 97.5% conviction rate. That means we win in the courtroom as well. I ask that you join the endorsements of the Boone Police Officers Association and the Sheriff's Office, Sheriff Greg Ellsbury, and support me for another 4 years. You saw what our office can do in the last 4 years. Just give me another 4, and we'll keep Boone safe. Thank you.
I don't make things up. This is an ethics complaint that was filed that was given to me today against Dan, so that's a real thing. I'm going to say that while Dan's been trying to leave Boone, I want to be in Boone. I'm proud to have the endorsements of the Matters Police Department's officers, Supervisor Chad Bain, Mark Trueblood, a professional MMA fighter, Johnny Hollywood Case, and 2 of the 3 former supervisors that were responsible for bringing Dan here, Tom Foster and Chet Hollingshead, now regret that decision and endorse me. I'll fight for all of Boone. My whole family's here, and I want the best future for Boone County that I can help create in order to help a great future for my family. I'll fight fair. I'll fight for Republicans, Democrats, whatever you might call yourself. If you call my office, you'll be treated fairly. We might not agree, but you'll receive an answer and be listened to. I am a fighter. I will fight hard. I won't give up and I won't give in. I'll fight and I'll fight to win. This November 6th, vote for the one person that promises to represent all of Boone County. And I mean all of it. Vote for Swanson.
State Representative District 48. Rob Bacon, Republican incumbent, and Tim Winter, Democratic challenger. Tim Winter was not at the forum in Boone, but we have a recording of a previous forum from the Ames League of Women Voters where he was present and Rob Bacon was not. I put the 2 forums together to present both candidates' opening statements plus a question about health care for each.
Rob is the current representative, House District 48, which is the eastern part of Boone County,
all Hamilton County, the southeast part of Webster County, which is Colville, well, basically right up to the southeast corner of Fort Dodge, and then bits and pieces of Story County. So I have Slater, and then let's wrap all the way around and come on up on the north side of Ames and go north, so I have Gilbert. And just for fun, let's cut the little city of Story City out. They give that to Dave Deal's district over there. So if you want to have some fun sometime, look at the map of District 48. It would look as though some kids blindfolded themselves and tried to design a water tower. That's what it looks like.
Okay. Yep. Is Madrid in?
Madrid is in my town.
Madrid is,
yes,
in your
that's the other foot town down there.
But, first of all, seeking re-election. Let's talk a little bit about that.
Okay. Back in 2010, I ran for the state senate and got elected. When I got elected, did not know that there was going to be a redistricting within the next 2 years. I was thrown in to a district with Bill Dix. You might remember that name from the last few years. So I moved over to Slater and still ran the funeral homes and everything, and trying to live in both communities, well, actually all three communities, and got elected to the House of Representatives.
Let's talk a little bit about the session that's coming up. We're still hearing a lot of reaction. I want to go with managed care right away. I know that's
a
hot button topic for everybody.
Yep.
Managed care. A few years ago, we were just looking at what can we do, not necessarily to save money, but to improve the health care and also save money. Medicaid has a lot of federal requirements with it. It's unfunded mandates is what was going on. And up to 10% of the checks being written by the state were inappropriate. Some were, I won't call it fraud, but there was a lot that of duplication of services where one person was, one case here, one person was supposed to be getting a bath, but there were three people who were being paid to do that, but he's only getting one. So with that and the 10% overrun and everything, it made sense. Let's take a look at privatizing the care on this thing. We had three people that came in. One decided they couldn't do it, so there were two companies that came in. We rolled it out too fast. We should have gone with, let's try this group of people, then this group, and this group. But instead, the governor was in a hurry to get it through and to pass it out, thinking that the big savings was going to be right up front. Mm-hmm. Well, what happens is the savings is coming from what I can gather, not only like that 10% in unappropriate or inappropriate checks, but also we have people just aren't getting paid in time. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
In my opinion, if you are providing the service for someone and you document it, you need to be paid for it. There's just simply put, you're providing the service, get paid. Mm-hmm. So,
what can the legislature do?
This is it. We need to get a hybrid. First of all, one thing that we can do is, I won't say mandate, but each company has a way of billing their codes and everything, insurance codes. So if you are a healthcare provider, and you need to know, am I going with XYZ company or ABC company on this? You've got to have all their codes. There should just be one universal set of codes pre-approved that when you're doing that, as soon as you provide the service, you submit the bill, within 30 days, you're paid. That's where that should be right now, in my opinion. There are some people who want to revert back to the old way of doing that. That would cost the state hundreds of millions of dollars right now, about $150 million to go back to the old way of doing that. The old way of doing it, too, is just pay the bill and don't care about the patient outcome. One of the things that I voted for this was because we would see progress in treatment with patients with this. It's a privilege to serve the people of Iowa. I love Iowa. I'm an Iowan by choice. I'm not a third generation or first generation. I am an Iowan by choice. And what I love about Iowa are places. I love the people we have here. And I love the promise we have. And I want to make sure that my grandkids have that good future ahead of them as well, too. Debt-free and a great education. Thank you very much.
Hello, everyone. My name is Tim Winter, and I'm running for Iowa House of Representatives in District 48. In District 48, that includes the towns of Slater, Sheldahl, Gilbert, and the townships of Franklin and Lafayette in northern Story County. Except for these areas, this district is primarily an agricultural district, and I'm kind of excited about that. See, I graduated from Iowa State University with degrees in agricultural business and agronomy, and as an agronomist, I have worked with farmers and agribusinesses throughout this district, and especially right here in Story County. I started out at Heart of Iowa Co-op for 2 summers working for Jim Penny as a crop scout while I was going to school, for instance. My wife and partner for over 29 years, Kelly, is a research biologist with the USDA in Ames. We have two kids, Jacob, age 11, and Ariana, age 9, who both attend Ballard schools, one in Huxley and the other one in Cambridge. Now, we all live on an acreage just west of Kelly, where we grow and process much of what our family actually eats. You see, both my wife and I are farm kids. We have several produce gardens that supply our family, our friends, and our neighbors. We like to donate the surplus to food banks and also some of the local churches. And then we sell enough just to help pay for the inputs like seed. Our kids are the fifth generation Iowans. Like your children and your grandchildren, they are the future of Iowa. And that is why I am running. I want to build Iowa up. We need to build up our communities in this district. We must create good-paying jobs and help small businesses to grow. High-speed internet must be provided throughout the district, including the rural areas. The district needs access to affordable health care, health facilities, and education. My opponent was going to talk about how great Iowa is already, how it is ranked number one in some publication. Tell that to the 40.5% of all the Iowa students whose family's income was so low last year that they are now eligible for free or reduced price school lunches. Burnside Township in Webster County, which is in my district, 36.7% of the households received food stamps last year. 36.7% of households. I think we can do better. My opponent is going to say, or was going to say, how effective the massive tax breaks and tax credits have been for Iowa. During the last general session, the Republican-controlled legislature and leadership slashed funds for the Department of Human Services, the Department of Public Health, the Department of Corrections, the Iowa Skilled Worker Agency, Job Creation Fund, Agencies on Aging, Unions, Iowa Court Systems, the Department of Public Safety, the Department of Agriculture and Land Stewardship, the Department of Natural Resources, Planned Parenthood, the Leopold Center for Sustainable Agriculture, and, of course, education. You just need to ask yourself, if the tax breaks and tax credits have spurred the type of growth that the Republicans say that they are experiencing, then why are we not increasing funding instead of cutting funding for all these vital agencies? The Republicans are in a pickle. They want to increase tax breaks and tax credits to over $2 billion this next session. That means more cuts to more agencies that will hurt lower and middle class families. Ask yourself, to get there, what do you think they will go after next? The Republican-controlled legislature has made Iowa quite unappealing to professionals, such as in mental health and education fields. We now have great difficulty in attracting professionals to our state and keeping them here in Iowa. We are experiencing worker shortages, so they are now proposing stopgaps, like lowering requirements for training or bringing back retirees to help fill in where we have shortages. This is not a good long-term strategy. Simply put, these cuts to funding has been devastating. Certainly, these are big issues that need to be addressed in the next legislative session. We need to come together as a state and bring the common sense attitude and determination that is needed to the Iowa legislature. We need someone who will fight for Iowans. That is what I plan to do. That is why I am running for Iowa House of Representatives. Thank you.
The one thing I noticed for all of your comments here is you're all kind of bashing the last 2 years. I think it's time to say what you can bring to the table rather than just bashing what you think has been done wrong. As far as health care goes, I think more work needs to be done on that, not just statewide but countrywide. But as a Republican, I don't want the government to have more control of health care. I like the patients to be in more control of their health care. But it's a complicated issue. And what I think is you guys are all going to have to work together to kind of sort this out. So come to the table. I'm asking you, if you get in with ideas, don't just go out bashing. You know, take ideas in there and let them be discussed, you know.
But Tim, do you want to weigh in on
sure.
that?
I think it's an excellent point that you made, and one of the things that I've seen as I've gone around knocking on doors is I'm not knocking on just Democratic doors. I'm not just knocking on no party and independent. I'm also knocking on Republican doors. I am asking people in my district what they would like to see happen in their district, and if I'm fortunate enough to become their representative, how can I help them achieve that? That is a standard question I have for every person I talk to, no matter what party they are or if they're not even in a party. So I do agree with you. We need to tone down the rhetoric that is out there. But there are issues that when you talk to the Republican parties, and I've also heard Republicans talk about some of these issues, it's not that we don't want the same things on many of these issues, like on health care. I don't know of a single person that wants to pay more for health care. The Republicans, the Democrats, everybody would like to have affordable health care. Where we differ is how we go about doing it. And we think we may have a better idea. They may think they have a better idea. But if we can get together and work together to figure out what would be the best for the patient and not just what's best for another company. And that's where we start to differ on these issues. And we can do that. But in the meantime, let's do work together. And let's talk to everybody. And if you have ideas that would work for your district, but if you would like to share those ideas with me, I certainly will listen to those ideas. If we can make them work by working together, I'm all in favor of that. Thank you.
State Representative, District 47, Phil Thompson, Republican, David Weaver, Democrat, and Patrick Shaw, Libertarian. There is no incumbent. The Libertarian spoke first.
Start out with your opening comments and let everybody know a little bit about yourself. First, Pat Shaw.
Well, thank you for having me here tonight. Thanks for being Rotary. My name is Patrick Shaw. I'm lived here in Boone my whole life. I'm a father of two adult children. Been married to my wife Laura for 34 years. I got three lovely granddaughters. Like I said, I was born and raised in Boone. I was, went to grade school at Sacred Heart here in Boone, high school in Boone, graduated. Later on, I went and earned a career diploma in police sciences. I served the community of Boone, formerly working with Boone County Emergency Management and Search and Rescue. I was one of the guys that did a lot of sandbagging back in the 90s when our water department went, our old water department went under. I've served our community also. I served as a chief steward of the Border Makers Local 83, helped negotiate contracts between union members and the company. Other than that, I am the wild card candidate. I am a Libertarian, and I'm proud to be a Libertarian, and I'm happy to be here tonight.
All right. Thank you. Phil Thompson, the Republican representative.
Sure. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate the invitation tonight. I am Phil Thompson. I'm from Jefferson. I was born and raised there just south of town. I'm the youngest of six children. I went to Jefferson Scranton High School. And then out of high school, I enlisted in the United States Army and spent 8 years in the Army. So I'm an airborne ranger. I'm a veteran of Iraq. I studied systems engineering at West Point for 2 years before coming back to Jefferson and starting a construction business with a couple of my brothers, which I've been doing for the past 4 years now. So I renovate homes in central Iowa. The last 2 years, I've worked as a legislative assistant for Representative Don Pettengill in the Iowa House and have gotten to know a lot of the people up there, including Representative Bacon. Got to spend the last 2 years with him and been sitting in some of those committee meetings he was talking about, like state government. I've really gotten to know these people, and after serving up there for 2 years and seeing the opportunity to serve, service is a huge part, it's a huge quality of mine, or a huge value of mine, and I felt like this is a good opportunity for me to take those last 2 years of getting to know these people and getting to know these issues and really put them to good for my community. So that's why I'm doing this, and I appreciate your support and appreciate the questions that come.
Good. Pass it over to David Weaver, who is the Democrat candidate on the ballot.
Thanks, Jim. Thanks to Rotary for hosting. I really appreciate these opportunities to get in front of people. Thanks, everyone who came here tonight to be an informed voter. That's an important part of our democracy, and I appreciate you showing up here. And thanks to every candidate who came tonight and to my fellow candidates up here. It is a scary thing to put your name on the ballot. And I appreciate everyone that has done that. It is, for me, it's been tough and exciting, and most of all, very rewarding to get to know the people that I've gotten to know through this campaign. I'm David Weaver. I'm a farmer, and I'm a dad, and I'm a husband. I'm a member of the Iowa Soybean Association, Practical Farmers of Iowa, and Iowa Farm Bureau. I'm a graduate of Central College in Pella, Iowa, graduate of East Green High School in 1988. University of Iowa School of Library and Information Science. I got my master's degree there. After my master's degree at University of Iowa, I was a librarian at Grinnell College in Grinnell, Iowa, and I was a librarian at Augustana College in Rock Island, Illinois. Prior to being a librarian, I was an English teacher in Japan for 2 years, lived over there, and served as an ambassador. I grew up playing football and basketball and doing a lot of things around in this very district. And in my early years, I showed calves in 4-H in Green County, and I was our local FFA Creed speaker when I was in FFA. One of the most important things I think of when I think about this place, Boone County, was the story of Kate Shelley, who crossed a bridge in a raging thunderstorm to save folks on a passenger train from certain death. Kate Shelley was an immigrant. Her parents were from Ireland, and she was a teenager. She was a very, very important person in the state of Iowa and history locally. And one of the things I think we need to focus on is one of those things that Steve talked about, building bridges and rebuilding our bridges. Thanks very much.
Good. We don't have an incumbent in this race, so we're going to end up with a new member of the House of Representatives. So, can you identify what you think will be some of the primary issues coming up in this next session?
Sure. Well, one thing I will say is I think good leaders admit when they're wrong. And Representative Bacon came up here and talked about one thing that we do have to fix, which is our problems we're having with our MCOs. That's going to take bipartisan work, and I'm prepared to help fix some of those issues. So I'm not afraid as a conservative candidate to stand up and tell people that I think there are problems there that need to be fixed and addressed. So that'll be a huge priority moving forward. And then obviously the budget, picking our priorities, making sure that we're adequately funding the core programs like education, and making sure that we're in our mental health system and making sure that we're putting the money in the right places and doing those effectively before we start throwing money at other projects.
Okay. Over here to David. Thoughts. What your perception of what you see big issues coming up in this next session?
I met the school board from Green County Community Schools, and they are very concerned about funding. The funding has been low for the last 7 out of the last 8 years. The other side will tell you that it's been the highest as it has been the last 7 out of the last 8 years. And I would say that they've had the smallest increases 7 out of the last 8 years. To me, it comes down about values and priorities. And for me, you look at my educational background, K-12 education is a very important priority of mine. Also, look at where we are, community college. I will make sure that our community colleges are funded. After that, mental health is a big priority. A week ago, I met with the Green County Sheriff, and I said, what would your biggest part, and he didn't even let me finish the sentence. He said, mental health is a huge priority in the state of Iowa. And since we closed 2 mental health facilities, and we lost those beds, it has been a problem for our department. So I've been out talking to the people and the leaders in the community, and I think I know where those priorities lie.
Okay. Over here. Pat, your perception of big issues coming up during this next session?
Most certainly it is a state budget. We had $124 million in surplus last year, tax savings for us. But a lot of that savings came at the expenses of people on Medicare, our elderly people that need this help. Certainly, the mental health care, as Dave said, that's a major problem. I mean, we have people walking the streets. They should be in hospital. Our governor has closed hospitals. We have people walking our streets that need help. They're not only in danger to themselves, they're in danger to the public. That certainly is probably right at the top of the budget. Teacher salaries, too. Teacher salaries are, some of the lowest in the nation. My son was a teacher. Although he taught in the private industry, he changed his careers. He's now an EMT working for his, become a paramedic. Very proud of my son. He misses teaching. He loved them kids. But we see a lot of teachers leaving the profession because simply they can't make a living. So, yes, education, mental health.
Second Amendment rights. Any changes in there? I know there's some discussion about restoring a little more authority to the sheriff's departments to be able to investigate when they issue permits. Are those some of the... is that something you're concerned about? Is that something you would be supportive of? What are your thoughts on it?
Well, in general, I believe in local control, and so when the sheriffs have that ability taken away from them, and I know that Dan talked about that a little bit, I personally believe the sheriffs ought to have that ability to use their discretion. They've been elected by people, and I believe the sheriffs ought to have that discretion. One of the other things that I think about when we think about the Second Amendment is something called red flag laws, which allows a family member who believes that another family member might be doing themselves or someone else harm to contact a law enforcement official and warn them and make sure that that person doesn't do harm to themselves or others when they have that knowledge. It would be for a very short amount of time, a few days, perhaps a week at the most, but those would be two things that I look at when I look at Second Amendment rights.
Okay. Pat, Second Amendment rights for you, sir.
The Second Amendment is very important to all of us as Americans. The red flag laws, as he stated, I am not in favor of that. I think the laws that we have on our Second Amendment are stated, just let's leave them alone. Because for the simple fact, we had this homicide over at Iowa State where this young girl was murdered. We have crimes committed by other weapons. That was the weapon that the girl was killed with was not a gun, it was something else. Red flag laws, you know, it could be reversed. It could be someone that has a grudge against someone in their family also. Letting the sheriffs to decide that themselves, I don't necessarily agree with that neither. I think what we have, we need to keep the laws that we have on the Second Amendment.
Phil. Second Amendment and allowing the sheriff's departments to have a little more control once again with the permits.
Sure. Well, when that bill was brought forward, when Iowa became a shall issue state under Governor Culver, it was because of cases of abuse of power. And it was certain sheriffs that were unilaterally denying permits without showing cause. And I believe that the right to keep and bear arms is a fundamental individual right. And that was being abused before Iowa became a shall issue state. So I would not support any legislation that would take us in what my opinion is backwards on that issue.
Okay. Pat, to start this this time around, they asked about ACT scores. The news today reported ACT scores are down in Iowa. What changes do we need to make that do not include increasing school funds?
Well, I had not known that. I remember taking them damn tests as a kid, filling out the little dots and stuff. I think we have a great school system here in Iowa. I don't think we necessarily have to do that. As I talked earlier here a few weeks ago with these two guys, you know, over in Jefferson, in our education system, you know, we focus a lot on the normal sciences and stuff in school. We need to bring shop classes back in school. We need to get people out there to work to help build our highways and build our homes and stuff like that. I think low AT scores are not necessarily an issue. I think our teachers are doing a fine enough job without adding any money to our state budget from this.
Okay. ACT test scores down again. What kind of changes might be forthcoming without...
Well, that small rural school over in Greene County that keeps getting brought up is the one that I got my high school diploma from. And I had a decent ACT score out of high school. And, you know, we didn't have a lot of the college curriculum courses brought to our school district. But, you know, we did have an ACT prep course. And taking that really did open up a lot of opportunities for me. Like I said, I got accepted to West Point. And a lot of that is on the individual. If students really think that having a high ACT score is important to them, there are things they can do to boost their scores, and a lot of that is on the individual. So I think teachers are doing a good job of giving students the resources that they need and the opportunities that they need, and it's just on the students to go ahead and move forward and do what they need to do to improve their scores.
Okay. David, ACT scores... Can we do to raise those?
Without increasing funding, right?
Without increasing funding.
One of the things that I was looking at right now is we're an agricultural state, and we are a low-wage state. When students go to school in the state of Iowa, 40% of them are eligible for free and reduced lunches. 40% of our kids are eligible for free and reduced lunches. That is not a good learning environment. What we need to do is make sure that we raise our wages here in the state. And the other thing we can look at is, because we have so many parents, two parents working in the household, make sure that we have adequate child care for students. That will make a big difference in making sure that they're prepared when they get to high school, or when they get to elementary school, K-12.
Okay. Back to Phil.
And I would like to point out that I emphasized the without further appropriating. So that was the point of emphasis that I'm trying to make.
More funds.
Sure.
David, you're up next. Yes or no, are you in favor of restoring collective bargaining rights?
Yes, I am in favor of restoring collective bargaining rights. Collective bargaining rights was put together in 1974. Robert Gray and the Republicans put that in, and I thought it was a good thing then. It was taken away in 2017. 10 days, it went away. Hurt our county workers, our city workers, and our teachers. I believe it needs to be restored. Let me add one more thing. When my Uncle Dean, who was a school superintendent, talked about collective bargaining, he told me a story about when he was a superintendent, before collective bargaining was there. And he was a teacher, first-year teacher, and the superintendent went around and gave all the males $500 raises. And he gave all the females $50 raises. And my uncle went in and he said, "Well, I appreciate the raise, but that's not very fair. Why didn't you do it? Why'd you do it that way?" He said, "Because I can." And he said, "I know you young guys, you might go away. But those female teachers, they're staying here, they're married." So I think my uncle had it right when he thought collective bargaining was a good idea.
Okay. Collective bargaining, yes or no, return?
Yes. Being a former union representative, yes, I believe that these rights should be restored. We always look at raising taxes or collecting from tax revenue. I think we just need to take a look at our budget and how we spend our money, our tax revenue. We could find this money other ways besides out of taxes, but we need to pay these people. They're deserving of it. They have earned this right.
And Bill, yes or no, return to collective bargaining?
I did appreciate the changes in Chapter 20. I come from a rural area and a rural school district, and those school boards do need the flexibility of those funds, and I do believe in putting them in charge of their purse.
Okay. Because
those benefits aren't gone. It's arbitrated locally.
Okay. All right. Pat, you're up next. We did the fetal heartbeat bill. It passed in the legislature, being challenged in the Supreme Court, so let's talk about some right-to-life issues. What about right to life, and should there be some additional pieces of legislation that are considered?
Abortion is a very touchy issue. It's an issue that shouldn't be discussed amongst politicians. Unfortunately, I personally don't believe in abortion. As for the fetal heartbeat bill, I don't accept that. We have laws, they already exist. I do not agree with abortion. I would not support any legislation that would support the funding of abortion for any reason whatsoever. So that being said, the government needs to stay the hell out of the issue. It's as simple as that. This is an issue that is between a woman and her God. God is her creator. It's an issue between them. It's not something that we should decide. Not politicians. Not you, the people. It's a woman's issue. I don't agree with it, but it's their issue, not the government's, to deal with.
Phil, I think you're next on the fetal heartbeat. Again, depends on what the Supreme Court does, I'm guessing, but legislature, I know, does have some other things that they are taking a look at, or you do have some members that are taking a look at some other measures that could be taken.
Sure. Well, on the heartbeat bill, obviously I wasn't there to take a vote, and none of us were. But I would have supported that bill. I'm the youngest of six kids. My mother was 40 years old when I was born, and I was a cesarean birth after another one. And my parents didn't have a lot of money when I was born. I was born to a fairly poor family that really struggled with the farm crisis in the 80s. I would tell you, I really appreciate that I had a pro-life mother, and it is extremely personal to me that I do appreciate sitting before you as a candidate, and I, out of personal conviction, I would have supported that bill and would continue to support any pro-life legislation moving forward.
And David?
In general, I think the things that Mr. Shaw said, I agree with. The people that should be in that room, the woman who's pregnant, the family members that she trusts, a person of faith, and any medical personnel that are helping her make that decision, that's who should be in the room. The government should not be in that room when that decision is being made. I go talk to so many people and they say, I wish we had fewer abortions. And the next thing out of their words are, the next words, don't overturn Roe v. Wade. I've heard that time and time and time again. And I think Mr. Baltimore voted the right way. He voted against the fetal heartbeat bill, and I would vote the same way.
Hey, here we go. This is a good one. Highway 20 is done. What can we do with Highway 30?
Sure. I'm certainly open to different projects that come forward. You know, there's kind of a hybrid system that I'm more in favor of not the total expansion, because I would also like to respect property rights of the people that, you know, own property along Highway 30. But, you know, depending on what kind of projects we can bring forward with the DOT, I guess I'd be open to considering that.
David?
I'll agree with Bill. How about that?
Yeah.
The DOT has put out some interesting information about that, and I also looked into that, and some of the property owners I talked to in Greene County are more in favor of a hybrid system, where you get most of the benefit without the cost and without infringing on the property right owners. So I would agree with that.
Okay. Pat?
I'm all for improving our roads if we can do it without raising taxes. So, certainly.
Okay.
All right, simple and easy.
Let's talk about homeschools. Your position on homeschools.
I don't know that I would have any change in any legislation. The one thing I would like to see is more oversight of homeschools. One of my biggest concerns is children, when they aren't in the regular public schools or in a sort of an open setting, I believe the state needs to be there having oversight in those homes, especially in those homes. The state needs to be visiting and making sure that these children are being taken care of. One of my biggest issues was seeing Natalie Finn, who, when she passed away, she was 50 pounds underweight, and she was wearing adult diapers, and she died basically of malnutrition. And the state of Iowa needs to be looking out for those children when their parents aren't. So.
Thought about homeschools?
I've been a martial arts instructor. I don't do it no more for the last three years. Started several taekwondo clubs. I worked with a lot of children and families. A lot of my students were homeschooled children, you know, and they were certainly well-behaved and good students to have, but some of these kids lacked social skills. And I think that's where we get into having the state step in and maybe regulating some of their education. Some of these kids, you know, they know the Bible from Genesis clear on to the Book of Revelations, you know, but they don't know U.S. history and things like that. I think the state needs to step in and you know, set some guidelines. That is certainly a very good thing to do.
Okay. All right. Phil, issue of homeschools, private schools, public schools.
I think homeschooling is a very important alternative to traditional public schools for a lot of students. I think a lot of students thrive in that environment for a lot of reasons. One, some people don't learn at the same pace as others, whether they're slower or a lot more gifted. And I hate to see it, and I've seen it in my own school, in the public school system, where I saw really gifted students, you know, kind of not try as hard and really lose their work ethic because they were never being challenged. So I think homeschooling does offer a really good alternative, and if the parents just decide that, you know, it's a better environment for their son or daughter, I'm all for it, and I think we should offer state assistance for that as well.
I'd like to give each a couple of minutes to wrap up.
Well, again, I'd like to thank the Boone Rotary for having all three of us here tonight and the other candidates for the other offices as well. The whole reason I got into this situation is because I see all the turmoil, not only in state politics, but federal politics. The Democrats and Republicans, I think we should give them boxing gloves, and I want to be the referee, you know. I am the candidate that can find common ground. I think you've seen me kind of agree with some things Dave said, some things Phil said, Some things I'm completely different. I am a libertarian. We are a growing party in the state of Iowa, and we're looking for your votes. You know, we offer an alternative. We offer an alternative to the government that we have. Our two-party system does not work. We all hate one another. We all hate one another. It causes problems in our families. Brothers hate brothers. Cousins hate cousins. Not necessarily hate, but dislike. You know, we need to put an end to this. We need to come together. We're all Americans. We're all Iowans. We need to bring ourselves together and work for one common goal, to bring prosperity to all of our citizens. That's why this November 6th, I'm asking for your people's vote. I want your support and I want your vote. So consider the Libertarian Party. We're out there. We're growing. We're strong.
Thank you for that. Bill.
Sure.
Conclusion, please.
Well, since I got into this whole thing in April, I've knocked on lots of doors. And I tell you what, it's been a lot of work and it's been a ton of fun too. So this really certainly has been one of the most rewarding and gratifying experiences I've ever had, getting out and getting to know these people and having really good conversations and figuring out the best way to represent my friends and neighbors. So I appreciate the opportunity and just of the system and our government and our country to allow us, the three of us, to go out and do this. And I know all three of us are having at times it's a lot of work and it's super stressful, but at other times it's extremely rewarding getting out and talking to these people. You know, and there's a lot more work to do. So I promise you that as your representative, I will listen. I will listen to your concerns. I'll continue to go out and have these conversations. I'm an airborne ranger. I'm not afraid of hard work. I will continue to work hard for your interests as well as mine. So I appreciate the opportunity. Thank you, Jim. Thank you to the Rotarians that hosted us tonight. And I certainly appreciate getting to know all of you better. So feel free to grab me after tonight and get in touch with me. So thank you very much.
David,
in conclusion, thank you all so much for showing up. It's that's what democracy is. Democracy is. It's showing up. It's showing up here at events like this. It's showing up at the voting booth. Thanks to all these candidates that showed up tonight, and thanks to the two gentlemen next to me. We've been gentlemen. And that's what's going to turn our state around. People acting like gentlemen. People acting like civilized people. Sitting down at a table and having a conversation. My mother was the school board president. My grandfather was a Green County supervisor. My great-grandfather served in the Iowa House. I am an independent farmer, and I'm a curious librarian. And I like these gentlemen ahead of me, I'm having a great time doing this. It's been someone said it's like getting your PhD in life being a candidate. And boy, I'm getting a good education. So I want you to remember, I've been endorsed by the Iowa Hospital Association, the ISEA, which represents teachers and firefighters. I'm very, very pleased to have those people behind me and in my corner. So at the end of the day, the most important thing is you all came here and you got some information. Now make sure you go out and vote on November 6th. Thanks very much.
All right. Thank you. And thank you all for coming.